Ever wondered why Sunday evenings bring that familiar knot of dread? For millions of workers, it's not just about ending the weekend. It's about returning to workplaces led by well-intentioned but ineffective managers. In Good People, Bad Managers, Samuel Colbert delivers a provocative wake-up call. Bad management is the norm, not the exception. What makes his perspective so compelling is that he doesn't blame individual managers, but exposes the systemic forces that transform good people into bad managers. The most alarming revelation? People aren't surprised by bad management. They expect it. Employees arrive wanting to feel valued and grow professionally, but instead find themselves putting as much energy into getting their boss to recognize their contributions as into the work itself. The root cause lies in American work culture, which leads managers to implement practices that contradict basic facts of human nature. They become so consumed with their own advancement that they lack capacity to focus on others' needs. Managers often engage in doublethink, holding contradictory beliefs that transform self-serving behaviors into what they perceive as good management. This manifests when they claim a rising tide lifts all boats to justify directive approaches, adopt a Boy Scouts coping mechanism that prioritizes personal advancement over meaningful help, or offer the system won't let me excuses to avoid addressing organizational problems. In one aerospace company, managers acknowledged an impending retirement crisis while knowing they lacked training budgets for replacements. Yet they allowed disasters to unfold, confident that collective guilt would prevent individual blame. The solution lies in two-sided accountability, holding employees responsible for results while equally holding managers accountable for employee success. Contrary to management textbooks, organizations typically promote individuals based on functional expertise rather than leadership abilities. Top individual contributors advance because of personal achievement records, while MBA programs function more as graduate schools of success than actual management training. As managers ascend, they discover technical skills aren't enough. They must develop people skills to work with peers they cannot directly control. Work becomes less spontaneous and more politically calculated as they realize advancement requires building relationships and managing impressions. The core problem of mismanagement is insecurity, particularly fear of competence-questioning attacks from peers. This anxiety emerges when managers face potential criticism for not being objective, showing emotion, displaying bias, or pursuing self-interest, often paralyzing decision-making and creating defensive management cultures. Managers routinely perform elaborate charades, presenting their views as purely objective. They frame arguments with impersonal language like the only right decision, what the marketplace requires, or based on the data, providing plausible deniability while avoiding blame by claiming they're acting solely for the company's benefit. Managers develop distinct self-protective routines to avoid vulnerability when dealing with reports. The most egregious is speak no evil, hear no evil, report no evil groupthink, an unspoken pact where managers overlook each other's self-serving behaviors and limitations, agreeing not to criticize one another and avoiding uncomfortable topics. Another routine is being seen as hardworking and overloaded, where managers showcase their diligence and document accomplishments to deter criticism. Equally problematic is being seen as open-minded and willing to be influenced, where managers feign interest in others' opinions while typically maintaining their predetermined course. Some employ borrowed authority power-taking, using a powerful person's voice to justify self-serving actions. I spoke with Bill, and this is how he wants it done. Many also use convenient use of process and committees to feign fair play, hiding behind seemingly objective processes when making controversial decisions rather than acknowledging their discretionary power, despite organizations functioning as hierarchical autocracies. Work culture resists change like a computer virus fights extraction. an effective algorithm prevents questioning the status quo. Don't waste time bringing up problems without solutions. This makes it impossible to address issues not yet understood well enough to fix. When employees identify toxic behaviors or inefficient processes, they're discouraged from raising concerns unless they can present complete solutions. The culture also fails to distinguish between leading and managing. Executives with leadership titles focus on big-picture directives while neglecting the inquiring, other-directed approach their reports need. Good managing requires assessing individuals' capabilities, making appropriate assignments, and helping people achieve their goals. It starts with questions, not declarations. Yet most managers prefer telling people what to do rather than understanding their perspectives. When managers recognize the need for change, they often embrace progressive terminology without committing to substantive change. They rename assignments growth opportunities, employees business partners, and analysis a deep dive, but these are merely cosmetic changes. Like golfers buying expensive clubs that don't improve their scores, managers adopt trendy practices without achieving better results. Despite cultural resistance, individual companies can create environments supporting other-directed management through five key mindset shifts. First, managers need security as their foundation. This allows them to focus on others rather than themselves, even though other-directed efforts yield intangible results with high relationship-building costs rather than concrete accomplishments. Second, managers should prioritize authenticity and integrity in every interaction. Leaders promote this by walking the talk, being their natural, open, flawed, but highest integrity selves. This requires trust that vulnerability won't be exploited. Third, managers should adopt a systems view of their impact. Organizations thrive when managers feel secure enough to embrace a one-for-all and all-for-one perspective. Self-interests are inevitably intertwined in work agendas and should be acknowledged openly. Fourth, managers should take charge of their own development and self-management. This prevents problems and saves time by making managers responsible for themselves. A no-surprises approach ensures they communicate proactively when plans go awry. Finally, managers should prioritize interpersonal competence and rewarding relationships. Much poor management stems from insensitivity to direct reports, defensive behavior with peers, and treating people as mere instruments. What if employees spoke forthrightly about self-focused management practices that hinder their effectiveness? Leaders need genuine feedback, but people fear being labeled negative when pushing back. Use iSpeak to express views matter-of-factly without disrespect. Focus comments on issues, not people. Address the virus, not its carrier. Too many leaders settle for meeting expectations, ignoring what might be accomplished from untapped human capacities. Expecting people to hide their self-interests while demanding authentic expression is contradictory. When we dare to be authentic, acknowledging our needs, fears, and ambitions openly, we create space for others to do the same. This isn't just about making work pleasant, it's about unlocking the vast human potential dormant in organizations worldwide. The revolution begins with daily acts of courage, speaking truth, showing vulnerability, and treating each interaction as an opportunity to be fully human. In doing so, we might transform both our workplaces and ourselves.